she would ask questions that might embarrass me. I used to say to her, let's not go there. Go and talk to your mum. So, I really feel the Father saying to some of us this morning, let's not go there. Let's turn to Exodus. Oh, sorry, Malachi 3 and 1. Malachi 3 and 1. I'll share the scriptures and we'll pray. Malachi 3 and 1 says, behold, I send my messenger. He will prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. Even the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, behold, he is coming, says the Lord. For this is he, Matthew 3 and 3, for this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. And I love this little phrase he uses, make his paths straight. Make his paths straight. God is preparing a people, I believe, in this hour, in these last days, to prepare the way of the Lord. And you've heard me use the terminology forerunner. But the reality is, a forerunner is just the one that's got a heart desirous for God and a one that will not shrink back and keep the path of God straight. What do I mean by that? Don't deviate from what he said. Don't put your opinion and your ways in front of his ways. Keep the gospel, not your interpretation. Amen? Keep the path straight. So God's preparing a people like John the Baptist, having a heart burning for him and with a passion, and their walk demonstrating something. A walk demonstrating something. Like a lamp, his life was like a lamp. His life was pointing the way to the way. His life demonstrated something. And it's no use just us being people that talk about something. We've got to be a people of action and demonstrate something. Amen? In these days, we don't talk much about holiness. We don't speak much on about the consecration of God. But we need to start talking about those things afresh, I believe. Because holiness, without holiness, you cannot see God. Consecration is something that we don't have to do. It's something we desire to do. To be set aside for his use and his purpose. Consecrated by the blood of the Lamb. Amen? Holiness is not a dirty word. Holiness is not something you strive to attain. You walk in it. And when you make a mistake, you get up, you wash yourself from it, and you keep moving. Amen? And line upon line, he will change you. Precept upon precept, he will challenge you until you get to the place where he needs you to be. Hallelujah. Are you with me? A walk is a lamp that shows others and reveals the love and the grace of Jesus Christ. The love and the grace. We've got to be lovers and we've got to be graceful all the time. He was called to point out the way. This forerunner, this John, called the baptizer, pointed Jesus out from the crowd and says, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Amen? He pointed him out. Unless Jesus was pointed out, he wouldn't have moved. When you're giving an anointing and a ministry to do for God, and it's more than the norm, he will point you out. You can't be something unless you're pointed out to do something. Amen? Otherwise, all I am is someone that wants to be renowned or known, but God doesn't move on people like that. He needs the humble. Amen? Turn with me to Revelations 3:14. Revelations 3:14. Actually, I'm going to read a bit more than 3:14. To the lukewarm church, Church of Laodicea, or the Laodiceans. And to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans, write, these things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of creation of God. I know your works, that you which are neither hot nor cold. I could wish that you were hot or cold. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of your mouth. What God is saying is, He doesn't like mixture. He doesn't want mixture. Because you say, this is the mixture for this church in the Bible, not this church, this church in the Bible, all right? So then because you are lukewarm, because you say, verse 17, I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, blind, poor, and naked, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, treasure found in the fire, treasure that is found in the where? Fire. So where do you have to go and get it? In the what? In the fire. That you may be rich and white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with the eye salve, that you may see. And as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten, therefore be zealous and repent. I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will grant him to sit with me on my throne, as I was also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear to hear, he who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. Amen. The church of Laodicea had lost the way. Who's the way? Jesus. Had lost the way. And they went their own way, what they thought, what they perceived. And it's easy to lose that way. You can get caught up in the mechanics of things. You can get caught up in religion. You can get caught up in tradition. You can get caught up in stuff, doing the same old, thinking it's pleasing God. But what we've got to remember is He is the way. I can't afford to get caught up in my own way. Amen. My own way, and they lost the sight of the path that was set before them. This path of his message, this straight path that shouldn't have any compromise or mixture in it. It's a direct, straight path. Make the path straight for him. Preach the unadulterated gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't shrink back. Don't mix it for personality and don't mix it for problems. Don't mix it to suit a person. Speak the truth, and the truth will make them. Hallelujah. The message of love, consecration, obedience, or dedication. Laodicea literally means people's opinions or the people's rule. The Spirit is not ruling in this church. People's opinions and people's thinking is ruling in this church. You can't, if you build a church on your own opinion, your own thinking, you haven't got a church. What you've got is a social club. I'm sorry. Unless he's the center of it all, unless he's in the middle of everything, it ain't church. Are we all right? Are we still breathing? Amen. They lost the capacity to see the error of their way. They lost their first love. They couldn't see the error of the way. They thought they were rich. And undoubtedly, they might have been physically rich, but spiritually, they were decimated. They were poor. Amen? And only the God will he exalt. Only God will exalt the humble. If I think I'm rich, I'm in the wrong place. If I get comfortable in what I think I'm doing for God or how God perceives me, I'm thinking wrong. I've got to stay in this consistent place of humility before the Lord. Amen? The path that they have been mixed with straight for the word, the Lord's return will come. The Lord's return had became crooked with the mixture in their life. He has sent me to make a straight path for him. Are you hearing me? He will come back. And he expects a straight path. He expects people to stand in truth with no mixture. Isaiah calls it like this, let there be no alloy among you. That word alloy in the Old King James literally means mixture. An alloy is a mixture of things. Let there be no alloy in you. It was the mixture that caused the children of Israel to fall in the wilderness. They came out of Egypt, and it says, and the mixture followed them. Then you can look in Deuteronomy, it'll say this, and the mixture lent under things of intense cravings, and the whole nation fell. When there's a mixture, it will always lead. A little leaven leavens the what? A little leaven leavens the what? Whole lump. Seriously. This mixture within them caused the whole nation to follow other gods. We can't afford to live with mixture. I've got to allow him to open every door of my heart. Hallelujah. I really believe that's a process. I really believe that's a trust issue. I believe it's a love issue. But he will do it. Amen. He paid the price not for some of me. He paid the price for all of me. And he deserves the very best. They became the church that had experienced power, but losing character. Power, but losing character. And became rich in their own opinion. They were caught in two opinions. They were caught in opinions. The whole basis of their walk was on opinion. I can't afford to walk like that. In the New Testament, John the Baptist was separated as a Nazarite. He had a Nazarite vow on him. From Luke, you'll read that from Luke 1. It says that he will neither drink wine, and he will be separated to me. And we can't go into the whole thing of the Nazarite vow, but Nazarite vow means a consecration, a separation to God for a specific work or a ministry. Amen? John the Baptist was separated by a Nazarite vow. You'll read that in Luke, Matthew 11:18, Luke 1:15. In the Old Testament, Judges 13, Samson had a Nazarite vow. Samson had a Nazarite vow. Both were set apart. Both called from the womb. Both were an answer to prayer. Both mothers were barren. And God honored them, and they came forth, one baptized in the Holy Ghost from the mother's womb, one not baptized by the father in the mother's womb, but they both had a call of a Nazarite. Amen. One walked in the counsel of the Spirit, John the Baptist. Lord, help me to decrease that he might increase in me. The other one walked in the counsel of his own heart. Yet he had power. Samson had power. There was no man as strong as Samson. He had power. But he walked in the counsel of his own heart. You'll only ever find Samson prayed twice. And there were two prayers of desperation. No communion. Called, separated, but refused to walk in the call and the separation to his God. And he had mixture. Samson had mixture. We're looking at two people of a Nazarite vow, one who knew their God, one who knew of their God. And there's a big difference. Amen. One humbled himself and cried to God, I must decrease that he might increase in me. The other struggled with humility. Samson prayed twice. He moved in the power but without the character. He's a picture. He's a picture in the Old Testament of the Laodicean church. A picture. Samson was given a Nazarite vow from his mother. He walked in that strength. And I think it's chapter 14, 15, and 16 if you want to read them. But 14, he marries a woman, a Philistine woman, from Timnah, which literally means on the border, a place of restriction. He was married to a woman there from Timnah. He leaves her. He has a marriage ceremony. He leaves her. He goes back to her. And she was given to another man. He got angry. He got upset. He kills the lion and the bear. Kills the lion on his way. As he's returning, he sees the dead lion that he had slain. But God allowed something to grow inside the lion that was sweet. He places a riddle before the Philistines. And that dead thing had some sweetness in it. Great example, a typical of sin. a dead thing that can have some sweetness in it. He touches the lion, takes out the honey, and he broke his vow. Because a Nazarite is not to touch a dead thing. He didn't have any weight to his vow. He had a vow, but the vow didn't have him. So he touched the unclean. He ministers and he does what God has required him to do, and he slays his thousands, slays his hundreds, slayed his 30, and he stripped the 30 dead men again, breaking his vow, and used their clothes as a payment. Amen. When your consecration and your desire to be consecrated before the Lord, one of the first things he'll minister to you is this: don't touch those dead things. Don't touch them. The temptation is with sin, it can have something sweet in it. Let's be real. Can we be real? Most temptation can make you feel good or nice or be sweet to you, but it's temporary. The consequence of it is death. Amen? We've got to learn not to touch the dead things, even though it might be enticing me with the sweet things. I've got to keep walking and doing what Christ has ordered me to do and keep on that straight path with Him. Amen? Are you with me? They became the church. Can we have the next slide, please? Three things. Samson struggled in his walk. The greatest struggle was connecting with his destiny and his purpose. Most Christians struggle with identity. Matthew 4 tells me the devil attacked Jesus on the mount and gave him three temptations. Two of those temptations were identity crisis. The question was, if you are the Son of God, turn these stones to become bread. If you are the Son of God, command these angels. So it was an identity thing. And the devil attacks Christians' identity, trying to keep them locked in their old identity. But if you know Jesus and you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you are what we call in a terminology, born again. You are born again. You are a new creation in Christ. Amen? The devil attacked his identity. He stripped him of his consecration. And that's exactly what the devil tries to do, attacking our identity. He tries to strip me of my consecration and my separation to God. And he wants me to touch the sweet thing that I shouldn't touch. He wants me to stop looking how God sees me and start looking how I perceive myself or how others, people's opinions, see you. And if you get hung up on it, it can cause you to touch what you shouldn't touch. It can cause you to lose your consecration and separation to God. And it will infiltrate my life and my house. Amen. Strip us of consecration. Help me have strength to become what he called me to be from my mother's womb. He wants you to have an identity crisis. He wants you not to understand who you are and whose you are in God. He wants you to forever try and be something that you already are. He wants you to be hung up in your past and hung up in the sins of your yesterday. He doesn't want you to have vision and look forward to the things of your God. Your God wants to give you vision, fresh vision. Amen. Samson had his eyes plucked out, but God still gave him vision. Hallelujah. There is four things. Four areas of relationship with the Nazarite oath. They are A, separation. You'll read this in number 6. Separation. Are they there? Oh yeah, separation. Worship, 6, 13, 21. Blessing, 22 and 27, and service. The whole order of the Nazarite vows to bring separation, worship, blessing, and service to their God. Amen. The trap for Samson was this. The devil knew his weakness. Hebrews 12 and 1, I believe, or 11 and 1, says this. Therefore, lay aside this sin that so easily besets you. Not a sin. This sin. That specific thing that you might struggle with over and over and over and over again. That thing that the devil uses to try and keep tripping you up. That sin. Hebrews 12 and 1. Thanks, Don. Right? This sin. And each one of us is unique and different. Whatever that is the enemy uses will be totally different to mine. That's why it's crazy for a Christian to say, oh, just get over it. Ever had someone say that to you? I remember as a young Christian, this youth pastor said to me one day, I think I was about 12, 13, he says, for goodness sake, David, just get over it. That really cut me. That really hurt me. Then later on in life, I understood that it's all right for him to say that because that wasn't his particular area of sin. It was mine. Amen? If I knew his, I could say the same thing. Just get over it. Praise the Lord. Anyway, won't go there. Might need healing, I think. Write this down. Strength without conviction will lead you to sin. Say it again. Strength without conviction can lead to sin. One Peter 5 and 8 says this, the devil goes around like a roaring what? Seeking who he may devour. Judges 14, 6 and 7. Samson kills the lion. We are usually on guard against the obvious, the lions. But we're not on guard for the honey. We'll deal with the big things, but it's the little things. Song of Solomon 2 and 15 says, the little foxes that spoil the vine. The big things we can see, we understand. It's the little things the enemy uses. Those subtle things. Amen? Are you with me? Praise God. We must be on guard over the little things. Those sweet, hidden things I must be on guard about. Those things, those words, those actions, that look, that thing I shouldn't see on the computer and I ponder on, and those little things I've got to be on guard against all the days of my life. And even when you say things like this, oh, that doesn't affect me anymore. Oh, no, I'm all right. That doesn't affect me anymore. I can look at it, but it's got no effect on me. You think you are rich, but you're miserable, wretched, and poor. Don't forget where you've came from. Don't forget what you've come from. Amen. All temptation is common to man. You are not void of it, even though you think you've overcome it. Glory to God. Stand and doing all to stand. Stand therefore. Keep on guard at all times. The devil will bring the sweet things, little things. Try and pull me away, cause identity loss, cause consecration loss, so he can have his way in me and stop what God has purposed for your life and your family's life. Amen. He killed the lion. He went back to his wife. Same lion is dead. We must be on guard at all things. Not reach out and touch what we shouldn't touch. Guard my consecration. Guard it. Guard your walk. Guard your consecration. Turn with me to 1 John 2 and 16. 1 John 2, 16. Three women in his life. Three women in his life. You've got to understand your consecration is like a lamp to others. Your consecration, your lifestyle is a lamp to others how they should live. The dilemma is when you see people that maybe have a title in the church or have a position in the church, and they'll do their preaching or they'll do their talking or they'll do whatever they need to do, yet their lifestyle doesn't add up. And all of a sudden, the straight path has become what? Crooked. The world's beholding it. The world's measuring you. Hallelujah. 1 John 2 and 16 says this, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life are all used to break these three things. Lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, the pride of life are still resident upon the earth. It's these three things that the devil tries to use to break our consecration before the Lord and break who we are in God. Three things left. Three women in his life. The Philistine woman, his wife. He should never have married a Philistine. Shouldn't have even touched a Philistine. He shouldn't have even been at Timnah. The prostitute, Gaza, another place of the Philistines. Went in with her because he felt sad and depressed. But there was one particular prostitute that had his measure. Her name is Delilah. Delilah. Weakening, failing, deteriorating. She is the seductress of the spirit. Her and Jezebel are twin sisters. Delilah's strength was not in her beauty. Delilah's strength was in the power of her words. She had no more to offer than the other two women could offer. But what she did have was the enticement of words. He kept going back to his Delilah because she was saying things to him that he needed to hear. Hallelujah. She was no different to the prostitute of Gaza. I'm talking physically. She was no different to the wife. What she did have is words. She spoke things to him that were lacking in him. He took comfort in those words. And he kept visiting his Delilah. He never visited Gaza again. He never visited his wife again. He just went to his Delilah, the one that has a word of comfort, the one that's enticing, the seductress. Eventually, she wore him down. See the ploy of the enemy? Eventually, she wore him down. He became vexed, the Bible says, or troubled in soul. His vow had been broken. He was now at the mercy of these words. And when you get vexed or troubled in soul, you will usually hunt for someone to speak to you life. And the devil has these people around to entice you to take you away from the consecrated life and trouble your soul that you not walk the walk you are designed to be. Can I have a little amen? A squeak would be nice. Just a squeak. Squeak. The truth is, and this is for, and I'll say this to all women, you do not understand the power of your words that can have an effect on the soul of a man. Powerful. So this Delilah entrapped him for money. Yeah. Judas spirit. Traps him for money. The Philistines came and she cuts off his hair. He reveals the secrets of his life because of words. While he's asleep where he shouldn't have been asleep. Shouldn't have even been in the tent. She cuts off his strength. It's one of the first things the enemy wants to do. Sap you of your strength. He wants to remove strength out of you. So you haven't got, you're too tired to pray. You're too tired to read your word. You're too tired to go to church. You don't want to mix with the right people in case they see the wrong in me. You'd rather be with your Delilah. Let's look at our modern day Delilah, should we? Modern day Delilahs. I'm trying to put it in the nicest terminology as possible. Porn. Porn. Enticement. The last thing I read was about this was in, from the United States. Over 60% of church men subscribe to porn. They pay for it. Then on Sunday, they'll come to Jesus, lifting up their holy hands, thinking nothing's wrong, because they're caught in their own opinion and they're part of a Laodicean church. Their soul has been sealed. Conscience has been seared. And if you keep going to it, hello, Delilah, that's what she does. You keep going to it, what happens is my heart will become hardened. My head will receive. My heart will become hard. My walk of consecration will cease. And all of a sudden, I'm doing things in secret. Secret. Porn. We'll leave it at that one. That's probably the biggest one. Here's the one that was an internal one. Pride. Pride will tell you you're right at anyone's expense. Pride will keep speaking to you to stand on right. Anyone ever been there? Thank you for your honesty. You want to be right. So you'll stand there and you will gas bag and you will spend energy and you will waste time and you can even break fellowship and relationship and you'll walk away thinking you're right. And God's whispering, you're so wrong. You're so wrong. Anyway, let's go from there. Get away from that. He was vexed. Enemy strategies destroy your strength, wear you down through torment of mind, vexed or a troubled soul. He lost vision. His strength had been, and he had to be led by a child. Oh, we're going to get in the good part now. He lost vision. They plucked out of his eyes, literally took him out. They put him in fetters. Chapter 16, you will see him, and he's in a stadium. They were mocking him. They were degrading him. They made him perform like a circus animal. But while he was at the grind of the wheel, while he was a grinder, he was called the grinder of a wheel, he was grinding away. And why he was getting to a place being led as a child, come to me as a, as he was humbling himself, as he was in a place of no repute, as he was isolated and alone with him and God, something happened. And sometimes God will get you in the mundane of life, separated to him, being led, becoming, so you can come to him like a child. Hello, Moses. Captain of an army. Captain of thousands. all of a sudden the backside of a desert, and you're all of a sudden saying, I can't do it. Stutterer. God will cause that things to happen, so he gets you in a place where no longer it's about you or your opinion, but it's all about him. And he'll sometimes allow that mundane and that grind to happen for not days or weeks. It could sometimes take a process of time to get that thing out of you, what was in you. Come before him as a little child. He tells the child to take him to the two pillars of the stadium. The child leads him. Let humility lead you. Let humility lead you. Whatever the cost, stay humble before your God. Don't get so caught up in your own opinions that you can't, I don't know what where God wants you to be. All of a sudden, he puts his hands, he said, put my hands on the pillars. The boy did that. Hallelujah. The boy did that. And he fulfilled his call. And in the process of doing all that, there was a change happening. He lost his physical eyes. It cost him something. Footnote hint. You keep delving in sin, it will cost you something. It will. Amen? I'm going to be really bold right now. If you don't stop that issue, he would rather embarrass you to save you. Your God, my God, would rather embarrass me to turn me back to him. Just ask many mighty men and women of God, they got embarrassed. He didn't do it to hurt them. He did it to save them. Amen? So you see, the pillars fell. Thousands died. He dies. But he fulfilled the call. He allowed that child-mindedness to get into his spirit. He was allowed to be led instead of leading. He paid a price. Can you do the next one, please? There's a but God in his story. But God. In the midst of the grind of life, my lack and my failures, not able to see where he became poor in spirit. Blessed is the poor in spirit. For theirs is the kingdom. For theirs is the kingdom on this earth. There's a but God factor in everyone's life. A but God. He will work something out of you, what he's placed in you. In a place of obscurity, mundane living, in a place of humility, of learning, peace, and his presence alone. Coming as a little child, he had a restoration of his own heart. Understanding that without him, without the Lord, I'm naked, I'm poor, and I'm blind. God will restore your strength if you come to him with a humble heart. But he rejects the proud. Amen. We might have power. You can lay hands on the sick and they might recover. You can prophesy till Jesus' return. You can even step out in the boat and walk on water. That doesn't impress him. And may I say this? It shouldn't impress you. What should impress you is this, a walk that is straight, a walk that is narrow, a walk that is dedicated and consecrated unto the Lord Jesus Christ. For by their fruits you shall know them. For Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name? Didn't we cast out devils in your name? But I never knew you. Amen. The church has to be a church that returns to his first love. And can we be a church that is not knocking on the outside? But he's the center of it. Hallelujah. We sang it this morning. Let him be the center of it. How much? The center of it all. Not some things, but everything. And if I've made a mistake, or if I've sinned, or if I'm caught up in that area of my life, like Samson, hear me. Come before him again like childlike faith. Come before him with humility. Consecrate yourselves afresh. Give your life totally to him. Open up the doors of your heart and say, Jesus, come in. The sad part about that is he already knows what's behind the door. There's nothing secret. Come in. Clean up my mess. Give me a message out of my mess. Make me walk a straight path before you. Let my walk be a lamp to others that they may see Christ in me, the hope of glory. Let them become, Father, and let them walk how you've designed them to walk. Give me the grace in the midst of my mundane, in the midst of the grind of life, in the midst of that, to stay humble before you. To, Lord, not just be humble before you, to come before you with childlikeness. Guide my hands. See the victory in your name. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's stand this morning. I don't care who you are this morning or what you've done or where you've been. You have a but God in the midst of your life. Never discount the but God factor. Amen. All he's waiting for, really, all he's waiting for is to say, Lord, I can't do it. I need you. I come before you wretched, broken, unashamed, naked. I come before you like that child. Forgive me of allowing me to be led by my own opinion. We need to repent of that because that's pride. Forgive me. And when your wife said, my wife said this to me this morning, last night, she asked me to do something which was going to cost me $500. Immediately I said no. All right, $475. Let's be specific. You like the box. Immediately I said no. Now I wasn't thinking of what she wanted. I was thinking of my wallet. Hallelujah. And then God said to me, he says, why did you do that? So you haven't even prayed about it. So I went to my wife and says, I will pray about it with an open heart. See, because you can pray about it and still be closed, but you just want to sound religious. Yeah, I'll pray about that, love. Don't worry about it. No. You've got to pray about it with an open heart. So I said, Lord, I'll do with an open heart. And I prayed, and the Lord says to me, good, tell her no. I went to her, she goes, it's all right, God's already spoke to me. I already got no. So we didn't do it. But it wasn't that what was bugging my wife was not the $475. What bugged her was I never prayed. That's what bugged her. I never prayed. Amen. Because I was caught up in an opinion. Hallelujah. Every eye closed, every head bowed this morning. There's a but God for your situation. I'm going to say it again. There is a but God for your situation. He can bring victory and life out of death. No matter what the situation, no matter what the temptation, he's more than able to deal with it. He just wants your honesty. If you're struggling with a particular issue in your life, this sin, I want you to raise your hands before the Lord. And we're going to deal with that thing right now. And we're going to ask Him to grace you. Open your prison door. Set the captive free. If you're struggling with doors of your heart still closed for whatever reason, and let's be honest here, we can give a reason for anything. That's you this morning. You lift up your hands before Jesus. Say, Jesus, I need to open my heart. He's come to invade all of you, not some of you. Father, you see our hands raised this morning. We come before you. Father, we confirm and refresh our consecration to you. We say, Lord, change me. I haven't got the power to change myself. Lord, forgive me of walking in just my opinions, my thoughts, and my wisdom. I need the counsel of the Holy Ghost. I need to hear from you. Lord, let me not put nothing before you or anyone else unless I've asked you first. Help me to be in communion with you that I might hear from heaven the instruction of your Spirit. I ask in the name of Jesus this morning, refresh my soul. Revive in me a new heart. Cause me, Father, to be a man dedicated to the process and the consecration of your Spirit. Lord, help me not touch that sweet thing the enemy tries to tempt me with. Let me see it for what it is. And God, let me keep moving on from that into your purpose. In Jesus' name. I thank you today is a brand new day. I thank you your mercies are new every morning. I thank you for a fresh fire, a fresh invigorating of my soul. And I curse the Delilahs in my life in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, whom you've set free is free indeed. I thank you, Father, for the process you'll work in my life, that you'll take me from a glory to a glory. In Jesus' name we pray. And if that's you this morning, shout amen. Amen. Do you love him? Yes. Hallelujah. I say this because I love you. I don't say it to make it hard. I say it because I love you. And I'm sorry, froth and bubble will not give you substance. The truth will give you substance. Only the truth will make you free. Amen. So stand strong. Stay strong. Stay focused. Don't look to the left or to the right. In fact, there was a word in the prayer room this morning. It says this. He's shifting gears. It's going to speed up. Don't look to the left. Don't look to the right, because it will cause you to stumble. Keep focused on the path ahead of you. Amen? Because it will take time of reaction, time to quickly change and do what you need to do to keep you on that straight and narrow. Amen? Please stay for a cup of tea and a cup of coffee. God bless you. Love you heaps. In Jesus' name, amen.